Yeah, but then you'd be recording it all by yourself.
I would be doing a one-man show for the 428th time in a row.
No, that's not true.
Depends who you ask.
Yeah, if we ask you.
Yes, if we ask me, then yeah, my back hurts from carrying this show.
That's right, one-man show.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to episode 428 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
What's going on, Adam?
I'm a hurting unit, buddy.
You are hurting, yeah. Yeah. Okay, tell us what's going on.
I hurt myself doing nothing. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how I hurt myself. I'm hurting. That's it.
Okay. Yeah. Like you stubbed your toe?
No, I hurt my back, but not low back, which is if I hurt myself, usually it's my low back. It's kind of like a rib / mid back, and it keeps spasming. So I'm going to try to keep the laughter to the minimum.
Don't worry.
No free laughs, buddy. No free laughs.
I don't ever want a free laugh.
You're going to have to earn it.
Do you, when you get the back pain, do you like to tell people? Because isn't it sort of a sign that you're an old man?
It is. It's a big time sign, especially when you have no mechanism, when you just hurt yourself for no reason.
When you wake up hurting?
Yeah. Well, I, as a physiotherapist, as you all know, as a physiotherapist, I am demonstrating exercises, you know, basically through my entire workday. That's what I'm doing, working with people. I'm showing them how to do particular exercises. So that's why it's hard to know, because it started yesterday during work and just got worse as the day went on. So waking up this morning, I was not expecting it to be good, and it's worse than I was hoping. And
so now
I'm basically just waiting for the next muscle spasm. That's kind of how my day's going.
Okay.
Right. So but I'm really pumped to talk about photography though.
But this is not a chronic issue with you though.
No, this is not. No. I haven't had back pain for a long. That's why I asked.
So I mean, you're a gym guy. You stay in shape and whatnot, and which is all part of. There's a lot of factors. As a former back pain guy for a number of years, unexplained. I understand exactly where you're coming from, but how does one? What are some ways to avoid it?
Be in good shape.
Yeah, but. I mean, for example.
For example, what?
What is a good shape? Just be
no,
slender.
No, it's not that. This is one of those things, and people will sometimes get it with their neck. Like they'll just wake up and have an inflamed joint or two around their neck. They can't turn one way. That happens to some people. It's one of those things that there isn't a specific mechanism. It can happen, you know, once a year, every 6 months for some people, maybe once every 5 years. But when it happens, if anyone out there has experienced this, it's an inflammatory response in sometimes one or sometimes multiple joints. And you basically have to take it easy, ice the heck out of it. Some people will, you know, resort to anti-inflammatories. I'm one of those people. But you basically have to stop doing what you think you should be doing, which is pushing through the pain. You have to not push into the directions that it hurts. And usually the worst of it is, you know, 72 hours, and then it just, the inflammatory response resolves, and, you know, life generally returns back to usual pretty quickly. And this is, does not feel like a muscle. This, even though it's spasming, the spasms people get are usually kind of our body's guarding response. So it's saying, hey, don't do that. The muscles are tensing up as a protective function. So usually the way you tell the difference with muscle or a joint issue is that, for example, if you hurt your neck or and you want to know whether it's a joint or muscle, usually if you turn to the right and the pain is on the same side you turn towards, that's generally going to be a joint problem. And if you turn opposite and the pain, so if I turn to the left and the pain's on the right side of my neck, that's usually a muscle issue. And so this is definitely a joint on my in my mid-back.
So opposite. If you turn to the left and it hurts on the right, that's muscles?
That's muscle most of the time, yeah.
Right.
You can still have an instability, but it's a pretty good general rule of thumb. So joints will usually hurt in same-sided movements. So side bending to that side, rotating to that side, or extending to that side, and muscles are kind of opposite to that.
Okay.
So either way, in the acute stages, when something like this hits, it's ice, 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 rest, and usually you'll see the quickest turnaround that way.
And which side did Robert Kraft have his pain on?
Ooh, don't go back to poor Bobby.
Three weeks in, it's still funny. No, right, we're on to the college scandals now.
Yeah, that's right.
I forgot. Felicity
Huffman. Yeah.
Yeah, we're on to her now. Sorry, I was gonna get the full house lady there.
I don't know about that.
That's on me. This is breaking news as we're doing it technically, so I'll try to keep up.
But to answer your original question, just very, very quickly, yeah, there isn't always a way to avoid it, but I always think if people are regular with their postural exercises, and more than that, you know, have kind of a stretching routine to maintain some flexibility, that's your best preventative medicine. But mm-hmm. It doesn't always work. Sometimes these things come out of the blue and not much you can do about it other than ride it out.
If you do need muscle relaxants or a leave or something, I would suggest maybe picking them up on Amazon. If you do, click through our site and help us out.
Or ice packs, like those gel ice packs. I realize I don't have enough, and the drugstore didn't have them. So I thought, I wish I had an Amazon method that would deliver it now, like right now.
Like, yes. I'll talk, like to, yesterday. I'll talk to Bezos at the next meeting.
Expedited emergency Amazon service.
Nice. Okay. Well, we'll think of a clever acronym for that and then make it happen.
Okay.
I just got back from, just to make it happy times, we just got back from a ski trip in the Alps.
Okay.
Have you heard of the Alps?
I have. I've heard
There's
of
multiple Alps.
Swiss Alps. Those are the real Alps.
It's all the same, but some are more expensive than the others. And the Swiss Alps are the expensive ones.
Is that where you went?
Yeah. No. Kidding? I have to mute that. I don't know why that sound came up. No, we stayed on the German side, just by the Austrian border, but the Swiss Alps, like I was told, oh, the Swiss Alps are wicked expensive. Like, it's great because there's very few lines, but holy cow, it's prohibitively expensive to ski there. And I checked into the price, and it's less than Whistler.
Yeah, that's funny, right? When you compare it,
I was like, you guys understand what Whistler costs, right? Like, it's. I think it's like $160 Canadian a day.
Yeah, I haven't been for a long, long time, so I couldn't tell you. But
I had to Google it because it's been a long time for me as well.
That sounds about right as far as how unreasonable it is. Yeah.
See, that's the thing is, I don't actually think it's unreasonable.
A family of four for one day,
it's only unreasonable if I'm paying.
Yeah, that's right.
No, but I mean, but if you're going to go skiing, like, here's the thing is, you know, what should skiing cost? Like, you go to Whistler, and my experience, the number of times I've been to Whistler, I've never really waited in line for the lift, and which is kind of built into that price. Like, there's so much terrain, so many lifts that once you get up the mountain, you're good. Like, you spend all your time skiing.
Right.
Whereas, so we went to the end of the Alps, and fashing holiday. It was like spring break number one. So we had the week off. Everybody had the week off, right? So it's very, very crowded up there. Everyone's up there, and so it was nice. We had a good time, but the lift lines in Germany, it's like a scene out of Lord of the Flies.
Oh no.
It is just pushing and shoving. Like, you know how in, like you say, you haven't been in a long time. I actually haven't been in a while in Canada either. But I did a lot of snowboarding when I was younger. And if you accidentally skied over the back of someone's skis, you apologized.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I mean, that's still a thing, I'm assuming.
I assume too. Again, it's been a while for me, but that was always the etiquette, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's game on in Germany.
Like, wow.
It's full on skiing over everyone's skis. You can cut in front of people and you're encouraged to. Like it is absurd because first of all, you don't just have a like a ski pass, like you would, like, you know, back in the old days where you'd clip it to your Sun Ice and that was it. You'd leave them all on like a cool kid the whole year. This one, it's all like it's like a sensor thing that you put, like a little kind of like a swipe card or something like that you get, but sure. but it's a sensor. You don't have to swipe it. It's like a magnetic or whatever it is. I don't know if it's magnetic or not, but basically all the ski jackets that you buy here in Europe have a pocket in, like a zip pocket in the end of the left, your left arm sleeve.
Yeah.
Because all of the lifts have a little reader. So that as you go by it in line, it reads your card. And then there's a little turnstile that you go through that you then get in line for the lift.
Okay.
I hate this. What are we doing? Can't you just be honest? Why do we have to have a turnstile?
Yeah, that is weird.
So I brought that up and everybody looked at me like I was the idiot here.
Yeah.
And I said, no, we could just have spot checks. And yeah, but what if someone's, you know, didn't pay? I don't know, throw them in jail. I don't care. Why do I have to go through a turnstile? I bought a ticket, right?
Right.
But meanwhile, it's just complete mayhem, pushing and shoving. And so I'm looking at the people behind me, and I'm like, I'm getting mad at them. Like, what are you doing? Like sometimes we're waiting in line for like half an hour, like at the super peak time during the day, half an hour for one small chairlift, and you pushing and fronting, like shoving, it's turning this into your weight into 29 and a half minutes.
Right.
And so, and then on the flip side, I'll be behind somebody who's not playing the game, and I'll be mad at them. Like, hey, come on, you're letting people go. What are you doing?
Right, right.
So it's more stress than anything.
Yeah, it sounds like a sport within a sport.
Yeah. So I mean, ultimately, we skied 7 days in a row, and so I got to sort of figure out the patterns, because there's ski schools and stuff like that. So there's certain times of the day where you just go have lunch.
Right.
Like at 10:45, you have lunch. That's it. And then at lunchtime, it just clears out. You can ski. You can go nuts, and you're fine. There's no lines. But
Disneyland, you have a strategy. Maybe you should write a little guidebook.
I don't want them to do that. I would like to just, because we're gonna go again next year. So I would just like to.
You don't want the word to be out, yeah?
No. Secret is not out. But also, I don't know if you know this. Everybody wears helmets now.
Wow!
Did you know that?
Yeah, I did. I did know that, which is kind of bizarre to me. But I think not a bad thing.
Well, no, here's the problem, though. I mean, my both my kids have helmets. My wife, she's been skiing a lot lately, and so she's owned a helmet for like 10 years. I have never, I don't ski, I snowboard. I mean, I can ski, but I'm a bigger snowboarder. So I've never snowboarded with a helmet. And in fact, you know, growing up, like, nobody had them. They didn't exist. And you probably
It was just the ski racers. That's the only people who wore helmets.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, hey, Podborski. Nice lid. Yeah,
that's right.
And so, anyways,
the spandex Spider-Man suit to go with it, dude.
So, everyone wears the helmets now. And so, I was told, oh yeah, you got to get a helmet. And I was like, I could just not hit my head. How about that? Is that something? And no, you got to get a helmet. So I said, okay, well, I don't want to jinx it, so I'll get a helmet. Well, could not find a helmet. Like, I could find them, but all they have left at this point in the season are like the wicked expensive ones.
Which, give us a ballpark here.
You're looking at like decent ones, like 140 euros.
Okay. Yeah.
So 220 bucks or something. Canadian.
Okay. Yeah. That's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. My head's not worth that.
No, I would take the gamble on your end.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? How about some newspapers and some duct tape? I can make my own helmet. Paper mache, maybe.
Sure.
Anyway, so I was like, all right, well, you know what? I was told there's some stores up there. Maybe I'll stop up there. Well, there wasn't, you know, there were stores, but they're sold out or whatever. So I was like, all right, well, hey, no helmet for me. I'll be Ron Duguay out there. Don't worry about it. I got this. Well, I go up there, and I'm the only one without a helmet.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, all right, like 40% of people don't have it. It was me.
Yeah, you're the guy. Everyone was talking about you.
I think you're right. And I thought, I felt sorely sort of self-conscious, where I was like, All right. You know, everybody on the mountain is just, I mean, Schadenfreude's a German word. So they're all hoping I eat one, right?
Yeah. And it didn't help that you had the neon yellow K-Way pants either.
Yeah. Well, green.
Okay, green. Yeah. Lime.
What, did you see the video already?
No, I haven't, but that just, it seems like what you would wear.
Well, I didn't have neon, but they are green from West Beach and on 4th Avenue over there,
okay.
By the way.
All right. Shout out. Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor. Hashtag repping the 604.
Yeah.
So I'm up there. Now I'm self-conscious because, you know, everyone, like, I told you so is a pretty, I don't know, people, it's like sugar. People love it, right?
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, man. So I'm just trying to be careful not to hit my head, just more so for other people. But at this point, I'm going to get a helmet just because I'm worried about getting hit with someone else's helmet.
You should have worn a hockey helmet. That would have been awesome.
I was joking. You joke. I was strongly, if you were there, I'd have brought it.
Yeah. I was going to bring. With a visor.
No. Come on. I was going to bring my Wayne Gretzky Jofa.
Nice.
Which that would look awesome. Just tuck my ski jacket into one corner of my pants, you know?
No one would have known you were Canadian.
No, nobody would know. So, anyways, the risk really is like everyone has helmets and they're flying around and I'm going to get hit with someone else's head, and so I actually have to buy a helmet for next time I go, unfortunately.
Okay.
So there's that. But the cool thing is this is what I noticed in line, and I say the cool kids, but this is like adults and everything. The move in line is you ski down the hill. And then, of course, then you got to get caught up on your phone calls.
Right.
And so if you play it just right, your smartphone will wedge in between your ear and your helmet. And so you can go hands-free with your phone stuffed into the side of your helmet.
I can't believe they don't have like a little magnetic clip that goes off the front of your helmet that just holds your phone there.
They should have that. So I got to watch all these people stuffing their phones in the helmet. And I was like, all right, I just want to fight you.
Yeah.
You guys look like complete and utter morons.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. So anyways, had a good time skiing though.
Cool.
I had heard that skiing with kids, like with little kids who are learning to ski, is a massive pain in the ass. And that, okay. Therefore, it's like everyone was saying, oh, no, you can't snowboard with them. First of all, you can't. You have to ski. There's no way you can teach your kids to ski while you snowboard because you're picking up skis, you're getting stuff. No, forget it. I thought, well, man, I've not been on skis in 25 years. Like, okay, I guess my wife borrowed some skis and boots and poles, and we brought those as well as my snowboard stuff. And the first day I went and skied, and hey, you know, it was fine, but they're not my boots. So, you know, they don't fit great.
Yeah.
And after the first, I did a half day of skiing, and then just my kids were great. And I said, forget this. So I snowboarded the rest of the week, the next 6 days in a row. Kids were awesome. They got into it immediately. They went up each of the 7 days in a row. Even the one day it rained, they still went up. My son's, I thought, they'd never really been skiing before. We kind of did the little pretend run one time, and then that was it. He just went nuts. His first thing was, hey, Dad, let's find some jumps. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do that. They could ride the lifts, no problem. They never crashed getting on or off. T-bar. So it was good times.
Sweet.
So I'll post a couple of pictures of that. We'll actually probably talk about some of the pictures because we're going to talk about that later during the topic section.
Okay.
All right. A reminder. Monthly challenge is semi-stranger portrait. That's a tough one. I'm wishing I could dial it back now.
Mm-hmm. I don't know where I'm going to do this, but I'm going to try.
Yeah, you're going to do someone on the plane, maybe.
Maybe.
So there's that. Anyways, why did I suggest this? Well, it was kind of based on a couple episodes ago, and we during our last monthly challenge. You know, we were talking about all like the couple of touching emails that we got and I just felt like there's all these people out there that listen to our show that are strangers, but they're not really strangers. I feel like I kind of know them a little bit. They know us. And so this is kind of this really kind of cool dynamic in the community. And I'd like to kind of expand on that. So I bet within your own personal communities, there's somebody that you know that works at the Starbucks that you go to all the time that you know, but you might not know them that well. So this is a good opportunity to take their picture, maybe get to know them a little bit better. And that's why. But I do wish I hadn't suggested it because it's a deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
There's a lot of things I wish you hadn't suggested. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is one of them. This is the most latest thing.
Like that whole back pain thing too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I regret it now.
Yeah. Oh, just as an update, Jack's hockey team won the entire league championship. So he played house league hockey. And I think I, you know, made several, throughout the season updates. I gave updates as regarding, you know, how they were doing and whatnot. They had a very strong team and they were in the top league for house league. So there's so many teams in house league. So they kind of rank order you, like, you know, in the division one or division two, division three, after you play 20 games or so, they kind of group you so that you're playing similar competition. And anyway, so we were in the top group, and then amongst the top group, when it gets to the playoffs, they split it even further so that you're, you know, there was 10 teams in the top group. They put the playoffs with the top five and then the bottom five. So we were in the top five of the top group. And then we won the entire thing in the championship game against our biggest rival team, which was another Richmond team. And
it was
pretty exciting. I didn't take any photos until the last minute because we were up by two and then we scored another one with like maybe 30 seconds left. So it was clearly over, got the camera out. And I just wanted to kind of take a shot of the kids kind of rushing the goalie after they won. So I took a couple pictures of that, but it wasn't anything spectacular just because most of their backs are to you, but it's a cool moment. The parents liked it and it was really fun. They took the on, and then I took the on ice photo, like with they get a big banner for winning. So they call them the banner games. And so they got a big banner for winning. And one of their kids had a broken leg, so hadn't been able to play for the second half of the season. So he was in a wheelchair. He's in a cast up to his leg, or sorry, up to his leg, up to his groin. So his entire leg. So he's in a wheelchair. So they pushed him out on the ice. This was the first game he had been to since he got hurt.
Did they make him wear a helmet in the wheelchair?
They did not. So they pushed him out onto the ice in the wheelchair and he held the banner in the middle. So it was a neat moment and really cool for him and good on our coaches. Our coaches are fantastic. So yep, we were the best house league team in Adam in the Lower Mainland. So there you go.
That's awesome. When the game was over, on the PA system, did they play a song?
I don't recall.
Okay.
It doesn't stick out to me, but they were playing some intermittent music through the game, so they may have.
If they played "We Are the Champions."
And the best news of all is that our coach, who is the greatest coach ever, actually both of our coaches, they're just phenomenal coaches and phenomenal people. So they're the best coaches you can imagine at a house or any other level. They could coach whatever level they wanted. They're that good. But they also coach baseball, just had the baseball draft, and they managed to get Jack on their team. They had to trade for him to get him. But so now it's an embarrassment of riches when it comes to coaching that Jack's been having. So we'll also have the same guys for baseball. So I'm super excited about that. I'm not coaching this year because if I did, there was no way I was going to be able to have him be on that team. Mm-hmm. So I decided that for Jack's sake, he needed these voices. He is so good with these guys and he's going to learn more from them than he would ever listen to from me. So it's best for him. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And I'll do photo stuff instead, which the team loved. I got a silver photographer award from the team. They kind of had this trophy at our year-end banquet and it was just a silver camera that they got from, I don't know, who knows where, but they had it filled out as the silver photographer award. And it was, you know, from the team to me.
It was gold.
There was no gold. There was just a silver.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's because the trophy only came in silver that it was the silver photographer, but it was pretty cool. I have it on my mantle. It's just like a silver camera, very, very neat. Nice. Gesture that they gave. Yeah. And a photo book, which they gave as well out to the coaches and myself included. From most of the pictures were mine, but pictures from the year, and kids filled it all out. It's very neat too. So
That sounds awesome.
So there you go. There's my photography year-end hockey tidbit.
The wrap up.
That's right.
All right. Did you shoot anything interesting?
I did not. Well, you'll see the only photo was my challenge photo, which I tried to shoehorn in, and I managed to take a photo just before I hurt myself. It was supposed to be sort of a placeholder because I was really hoping that spring would arrive. It's still been pretty cold here. And I think next week, apparently spring's supposed to get here because it's been like 5-6 degrees every day. And so spring hasn't quite sprung, but I did manage to take a photo challenge photo, but that was it for this week.
I was smug a couple weeks ago about the weather, but it turned. It's been awful here, like 3 degrees and pouring rain. So same thing, no spring. Yeah, it's my interesting stuff was the ski trip, and so I had not been there before. We went with a couple of families who go every year, and so we finally got the invite this year. Okay. And went up, and I didn't know what to expect, and so I figured, all right, well, I'm going to take my X100 with me because I like that camera; it's perfect, compact, etc. Take the 40D because I can take it up and on the mountain, and like I said, I'll take it up and I'll go hide it behind a tree, you know, while I'm skiing. I don't care about the camera. I'll take the memory card out, of course. Yeah, you know, that would upset me if that went missing. And then I have my little fake GoPro that I brought as well. And I wasn't going to bring all of them up on the mountain. Like, I was never going to bring the X100 up on the mountain. And the 40D and the GoPro I wasn't going to bring up all the time. But looking back, we're going again next year. I will leave the 40D at home. I will leave the X100 at home. And I'll probably leave the GoPro at home as well. The two big cameras were just a real waste. I think I took one photo with the X100 during a little sort of little mini party we had with the kids, and then I took about four photos with the 40D, and that was it. The rest was just snowboarding and whatnot, and shot with the iPhone, a lot of iPhone stuff, and my wife's Samsung Galaxy something or other, some number after it, maybe 7.
Okay.
6? Maybe 6, maybe 7, I don't know. I don't really care. I'll be honest with you. I don't really care. But other than that, it was good. I snapped a few photos. I went night boarding one night because it's mostly a day skiing place. They have night runs open one night a week, and that's like Thursday night. You can go up, and so I snapped some photos there. Great results. And then shot a video. A lot of video this time, which I sent you. I did send you the link, right?
Mm-hmm. I watched about, I don't know, a minute and a half of it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little repetitive. It's, hey, there's my kids going down the hill.
Yeah, I got the gist of it. Maybe I lasted 2 minutes. I might have lasted 2 minutes.
Eh, this is a very funny ending, but all right.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen the ending.
No, it's okay. It is designed for grandma and grandpa, essentially. So it's 4.5 minutes long. I'm actually going to post it. I don't see any reason why not to post it. I actually included a couple shots of me snowboarding in it, so that one day down the road, my kids will have visual proof that I wasn't always a gimp. Can you say that word? That's an okay word, right?
Well, it might be offensive to a few
Pulp Fiction fans.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was gonna say. Moviegoers. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, so you know, one day down the road, I want them to be able to look back. Go, yeah, Dad used to not be terrible at stuff. And although it's me riding down like the blue or the green or whatever the easiest one is, the hill with them. So it's not like I'm, you know, in waist deep powder up in the black double black diamond. But they loved it. And when the kids watched the video, they're like, "Hey, Dad!" You know, so kind of nice.
I'm looking at your photos right now, and that was completely random that I said the fluorescent yellow, and I was kidding. Yeah. Those are pretty close to fluorescent yellow.
Oh, they're green. They're bright green.
Okay, yeah. But that was exceptionally close for just a random sort of little poking you in the shoulder kind of like gesture.
Yeah.
This is and your son's helmet is also that color. So
yeah,
I think you got to take a good long look in the mirror, buddy.
No, West Beach, buddy. Those are cool in the 90s. I bought those in the 90s.
Okay. All right.
And so, hey, it was a different time back then, and I still like them. I actually bought a new pair, and I just don't like them quite as much. And so I said, you know what? I'm sticking with these ones. I brought both pairs up in case they got wet, but yeah. I thought maybe you'd seen the video and thought, okay.
Yeah, maybe subconsciously, because I did see the video a couple of days ago, but I never processed. Like, I was just completely blowing smoke when I said that. So yeah, it must have been somewhere in my subconscious.
Well, the point of it is, you look at the photo of me and the kids and my wife, and then the shot of my wife and the kids. Those are both cell phone pictures.
Mm-hmm. It's good. Like,
that's ridiculous how good they are. And then I posted the one of both my kids, and that is a DSLR photo, which you can sort of see the difference. You know, probably shot at like an f/8, 30 mil lens, but you can still see a little bit difference. But really? I mean, it's so. And then the shot of the lift lines there, just for reference of what goes on in the lift lines, you can see in the sort of the bottom right hand side where it says Zener. That's the little gates where you have to go through with your beeper, and. Anyways, the whole, like, the video that I posted that people can have a look at if they like was shot almost entirely with smartphones. I think there's one or two photos in it that were shot with the 40D. It's a mix of video and stills. And so there's a couple shots from the 40D. There's some video with the fake GoPro, but wasn't tremendously steady. And so... I guess maybe I expected more for my $40, but next year I'm not going to bother. I'm just going to shoot strictly with my iPhone. So
okay.
There you go. All right. Photo challenge this month was spring. So my wife saw your picture and wanted to know if you speak German.
Why?
Well, in German, what your daughter is doing is springen.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. No, I do not speak But I did have the idea of this is looking pretty springy, like as far as jumping. She's got springs, you know. It's mm-hmm. It's also not quite spring as far as the weather goes. So I added the skipping rope because that's something you might do in spring if we had it. Yeah, and that's all. We went to the park. She skipped rope. The end. That's the photo.
But she's cooperating with you though.
Yeah, only for about, 13 seconds. And then she starts doing all these goofy duck face photos. So this happened to be in the first 10 seconds. So after this, it quickly went downhill.
Did you show her my challenge photo from last week?
Yeah, she thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah. That's good. Who wore it better, let's be honest?
Yeah, I think she was better. But no, it was funny, and Lisa enjoyed it as well.
Good. That's the important part. This is a shot with the 85 or the 70-200?
70-200.
You can go either way. It doesn't look like it's at 200 necessarily.
I don't know what it is. It's at more than 150, I'll say that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, so
but
it's
then not at F4 then?
Maybe F5, 6 or something like that.
Oh, okay. Decent depth of field for that focal length and that f-stop then.
Yeah, yeah, and I was actually surprised that there was as much depth of field considering the settings that I was on, but just the way it worked out, and I guess the
and
distance
you can
from
sort
the
of see like this
yeah.
still has but, the to my eye yeah. anyways. Go ahead.
What's that? No, it cut out on us there for a second.
Okay. The so the light still has that sort of pre-spring. It's not spring yet when you shot this. Obviously, we still have another week to go, right? And it has that late winter sort of coolness in the light. Like, it doesn't have your nice warm.
No, it sure doesn't. And the shadows are very cool. And this is even warmed up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you can only warm it up so far. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, everybody's yellow. The skin tones are a mess. And that's just the nature of the light at this time of year. I mean, in my experience, some people tell me I'm full of it. But you and I both live on pretty much the same parallel. I think we're about 1 degree south, but for the most part, the same. And so I find that the light here behaves the same in the winter as it does in Canada, in Vancouver. And so I always find it to be very cool. You know, even if you balance it for maybe 6,000 or something like that, you're still going to get those cool shadows, which is very indicative here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's have a look at mine. Mine's the close-up of the flowers.
Okay, I'm looking at it.
We also did not have spring. And so I had something very specific in mind. I was going to shoot some flowers outside, and they're not coming up. Nothing of note is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, okay, well, I'm going to shoot. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to shoot black and white flowers like everyone has been doing for the challenge, making them look awesome.
Sure.
So I did. I shot black and white flowers, and they did not look awesome.
Okay. Is it the nature of the color of the flowers or the lighting or
what? I think it's the function of the yellow flowers.
Okay.
I think I would have preferred to shoot something red, but my wife did not buy red flowers. She bought these to plant when the spring comes. So we had them in the house. And so they went. I took them downstairs and lit them, essentially with a setup that I had already had set up for a studio shoot, and just kind of turned them and shot them. And ultimately, I was going to shoot, like, they came in like pots, like they're bulbs essentially or whatever. And I don't even know if that's the right word. What am I, tulip guy? And so I didn't want to mess them up. And so I was going to, I shot, I'm going to shoot this bunch of flowers and it'll look good in black and white. And as you can see, it doesn't look good in black and white or color. Mm-hmm. Like the big wide one is like, okay, you got some cool kind of rim light bouncing around. That's cool.
Yeah.
But the rest of it is, you know, fine.
Yeah, it's fine. That's sort of the same thought that I have. I mean, it's hard for me to critique this because I never do this, and I don't really know what's good, to be honest. I mean, I know when I see something that I think looks very cool and I think, oh, you know, I want to reverse engineer that, I feel like it's missing something. I don't know what the something is, but
I think the something that the reason I show it is not to just dwell on failures, but I think my takeaway, which is, so I went in and cropped from a different shot of the same flowers. I went and cropped a very much tighter region and just had like the one flower with the two little ones below it, which I like better, which is not to say I like it. I do like it better than the other one. And I think it's the simplicity of it. The other one is very crowded, and there's a lot of flowers of various stages of blooming sort of clumped together.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's the real issue here. Like, if I were to photograph one of them, it might actually look pretty cool, or a couple of them, but I would have to achieve some sort of separation, which I didn't want to go messing with the flowers and then kill them and have to explain to my wife why I killed her flowers.
Right, right, yeah. I'm not sure if it's the black. Sometimes the black, like you say, the black and white with the flowers works really well, or the red on the black that we've seen in the past from people looks really what works really well, or even like a purple. But I don't know, something about the yellow and black that it doesn't yellow, black, and green that just doesn't seem to, the colors don't seem to work as well together. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a good effort. Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got lights out.
You put the effort in, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. All right, topic this week is smartphones. Because it's, let's be honest, let's be frank here, Adam. I think it's time to stop being snobby.
Okay.
I think it was time to stop being snobby like 5 years ago, but we're doing it now. We're starting now.
Okay.
You hear people say the phrase, my favorite phrase, and I say favorite, I hate it. I hate this phrase. Well, the best camera is the one that you have with you. Can't hang with those guys.
There's truth to that, though.
That's the problem. I hate it, but it's true. It is so true. Like, I mean, and that's what I found going up on the ski hill. I didn't want to take my DSLR with me. I didn't want to ski with a backpack. I say ski, snowboard, whatever. It doesn't matter. We didn't want to take that all up with a backpack, you know, and have that around and deal with that and the kids, etc. And so ultimately, we found that just throwing our iPhone or the Samsung into the jacket pocket, which, by the way, all the jackets have dedicated phone pockets now.
Okay, that's the world we live in, yeah.
It's the world we live in. Like my jacket, now I didn't buy it for this reason, but it actually, so it's got a sort of like a little, like a dedicated little sort of waterproof sealed hole for the headphones to come out of. Yeah. That's how we're engineering stuff now.
Sure. Yeah, I get it.
Jokes on them. I got Bluetooth headphones, so. But anyways, what it led me to think about was, you know, going up on the hill, specifically up on the hill, but this applies to a lot of different scenarios. What's the return on investment, the ROI, on having a real camera, quote unquote real camera, with you? What do I get for it in terms of what do I have to pay for, you know, am I going to get the Adam Schwartz back pain from snowboarding maybe, with a camera?
Yeah, you might. That's the risk for sure.
So with that in mind, do you do much iPhone photography?
I do next to zero, but I have a super old phone and the camera's pretty terrible.
Right. What phone do you have?
I have an iPhone 5S, which probably belongs in a museum somewhere.
I think that's the sort of the cutoff point between ancient and decent, because I just bought the simple, cheap little iPhone SE, which they tell me in the ad, like, I don't pay much attention to that, because I had never had a phone until a year ago, less than that even. And they say, oh yeah, the iPhone SE, it's like a small, it's like got the 4 body, but it's got the insides of the 6S or the camera, whatever. All I know is the pictures are pretty awesome.
Yeah, my wife has a 6, and it's a huge step forward,
right,
in the pictures that she takes on her phone. Yeah.
So with that in mind, I can't say that I would buy a point-and-shoot camera.
Okay.
Like a dedicated, like if you're looking in the market now, I don't know what they cost now. They got to be around $80 at the most for a point-and-shoot.
For just a very basic one.
Yeah, you just go in and say, hey, man.
It's like probably closer to between, like for anything decent, probably closer to $300.
There's no way.
Yeah, it's the truth.
I'll bet you can get something. I bet you whatever would have cost $400 8 years ago. There's got to be, I'm assuming they must make a 10 megapixel point and shoot for $80 that's going to take photos.
Oh, I'm sure they make it. I'm just saying. Sorry, just muscle spasm there. Trying to breathe through it. they still like anything, like TVs, any electronics, it's like they just find a few more specs to put on it so that they can still charge $300. So
okay.
There are ones you can buy on Amazon that are names you've never heard of that fit the exact description that you're talking about, but the offerings from, you know, Canon or Panasonic or Sony, they've all just kind of moved up. They always stay in that range. You know, $200 to $300, anything that you would be worth buying anyways.
Well, I'm going to say it's not worth buying then, because the phones are that good. And now they're not great. They're not, like, I'm not going to throw my cameras away. I'm not suggesting that at all. But I'm just saying, like, your mom, not your mom, but someone's mom or grandma, you're going to be just fine with your phone. And like what people are doing with their phones now are better than anything that most people were doing 10 to 20 years ago with their SLRs or point-and-shoot film cameras or whatever.
Right.
Like, they are that good. Like, these cameras, they are more than you need for snapshots. If you want to go beyond that, well, now you're in trouble. So, but, okay, so upsides are that you're likely going to have it all the time. You're going to be able to use it because it's very simple. There's very, you just touch that button, you know, push that button, it takes a picture. You can hand it off to almost anybody and they can pretty much figure it out. There's no, okay, do you know back button focus? Like, no, just here you go. Here, push that button. Downsides. Are there any?
Depth of field. I mean, some of the new ones probably are performing some dual camera trickery, but for the most part,
yep,
you're not gonna get the bokeh that you're gonna get from an SLR.
No, you're not. Now, is that a for you know, Joe Sixpack, is that a concern? Is that something that they want
to
do?
No, I don't think it matters to you know, most of the photos that people are wanting to take.
Yeah, I think that's something, hey, if you want to do that, you jump up, but for the most part, hey, go ahead and snap away. I find I don't take that many photos with the thing. I'm going to take a lot more, but I find that the simplicity of it can actually be very limiting, in that if you want to change anything, the controls can be a little bit clunky.
Okay.
Now, for example, but you know, good, you know, cool things are like I'm snapping pictures on the mountain. I want to get, you know, make sure that it focuses on my kids, but also, you know, exposes for my kids' faces. Well, I can just touch my kid's face on the screen and mm-hmm. it exposes for that. It's pretty cool.
Right. Yeah.
But if you want to dial the rest in, it's a lot less control. And the other big thing that the takeaway that really I don't love is the JPEG processing. So it shoots them in JPEG, that's all you get. And most times I find they tend to over sharpen them. So the images you're seeing, they're just too crisp. And which is kind of weird to say because sharpness is nice. What about, you know, but for some reason they just overdo it. Another thing is that you're not going to be lighting anything with strobes. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
Maybe there is some sort of a Bluetooth adapter that you can trigger strobes with now. I don't know about it. I can't say I would bother. I don't like to do iPhone photography that much. Best you can hope for is some bounce light or maybe some LED lights and maybe, you know, continuous lighting that you could add if you wanted to. But I think at that point, you're just going to shoot with the proper camera.
Right.
Another downside for me is the wide lens. You really can't get too close to people or you start to risk distorting them. Now, I don't know what your experience is. I did not read up on all the... Cause some of these cell phones now have six cameras on the back. So I don't really know what that's about. Like, that's... are they telephoto? Is that... I'm not sure how that works. But I found that, like, the zoom on my camera is just a digital zoom and it's pretty much useless. Which you see people using kind of all the time. You see people kind of zooming in with their fingers, which is not really the same as having a long lens.
No, it just makes for a lot of digital noise in my experience.
Yep, and you still have that same distortion and whatnot. But all that being said, those negatives, you can overcome a lot of that. And so what are some solutions? I kind of was messing around a little bit. I found that the included apps, like just basically your photo, your camera app that comes with the iPhone, for example, it's fine. It's not gonna win any awards, but it's great, easy to use. But maybe you want to try a third party app. Okay. There's a lot out there that offer all kinds of things, and I don't really care about the filters and whatnot. For me, what I want to be able to do is when I go snap a photo up on the ski hill, for example. I want to preserve that dynamic range. And so what the included apps do is just basically spits out a JPEG. Now you can shoot an HDR, which does a decent job, but it's not quite the same. Let's shoot raw. Your camera, starting with the 6, I believe, or the SE, can handle actually shooting raw images.
Wow.
But you need software for that. Now there's a free one you can get called VSCO that I downloaded just to try. Didn't love it. It shoots okay, but it kind of assumes, unless I'm not, you know, didn't dive deep enough into the program, it assumes that you're going to then make the edits on your phone and then spit out the JPEG. Whereas I don't want to do that. I want to bring those raw images onto my computer and handle it there. So it turns out Lightroom for the iPhone, which I understand is free, even if you don't have a paid account. You have to have an account with Adobe, but you don't have to pay for it, as I understand it. It is it will shoot raw in the form of the DNG, the digital negative. And so it's really, really awesome. So you can go and shoot that. It'll automatically save it, upload it to your whatever account you have. I don't know, but with a free account, I guess you probably don't get free storage space on the Adobe server. I guess you don't know either.
No, I don't know. I'm trying not to talk too much right now because the spasms are coming more regularly.
Okay. I'll take it from me. I'll take us home then.
Yeah, you take us home.
Okay, so I happen to have, because I have the the CC, the cloud, whatever it's called, the Adobe account, this is included. And so what I end up doing is I shoot raw DNG files on my phone. It automatically uploads it. I then open up Lightroom CC on my computer and bam, the images are there. As soon as I get home, it has to upload on the Wi-Fi. It can do the data. I turn that off. So there they are. I don't personally like to use that program. So I then export them and bring them in my regular library. I still like the classic. I'm the old guy. So I bring those DNG files in, and all of a sudden you can treat it like a real RAW file, which is actually fantastic. So that means go in, pull the highlights back, get your dynamic range back, mess around with the white balance, all kinds of things that you now have full control over images that you shot on your iPhone. So the verdict is, when I go skiing next year, I will not take a camera. I will only take my phone.
Wow.
Meanwhile, am I ditching my cameras? Absolutely not. Like I still would like to shoot with my cameras more often than my phone. But in those instances that I need, you know, want to use my phone, no problem. I'm happy to use it. Remember Steven Soderbergh, like probably my favorite director, one of my top three. He's shot his last two movies he shot on an iPhone.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Now, he did use some, you know, third-party apps to control a couple of things, frame rate, etc. And it does change how you shoot a movie, and I haven't seen it. It's that NBA one. It's on Netflix now. You can go check it out. Something, High Flying Birds, I think, is the latest one.
Okay.
It just came out on Netflix a couple weeks ago. I haven't had a chance to see it yet, but it was shot on the iPhone, and so it's a pretty cool, it's just pretty amazing. But again, I would still rather shoot on a, you know, a real fancy an Aeroflex camera. Arri Alexa would be kind of nice to shoot with. But in the meantime, I'm not going to ski with that. The iPhone. There you go. Right. Here you go. There's your ad, guys. There's your ad, Tim Apple.
Yeah.
So, photo challenge for next week.
Okay.
Smartphone.
Got it.
Well, it can be iPhone because it's just you and I, but iPhone. Shoot with the iPhone.
Sure.
All right. And a reminder, our monthly challenge is a portrait of a semi-stranger. Hashtag that. Two Hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers on Instagram, and we will check that out. And websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com. The two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, and the video, and everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.